Does it feel a little more Christmassy to you?
Dark.
How does darkness feel more Christmassy?
Well, you got the tree, you know, that tree, early morning. What time are your kids going to get up on Christmas Day?
Oh, bud.
Three?
Probably not three. My second kid is, he's just a stud. When it comes to bedtime and wake up, he's a stud.
He's routine?
He's a 6:30 to 6:30.
What about Turtle?
I've always heard about kids like that,
yeah,
but I never believed it because of how Turtle was. And we got one of those, which is so nice. So a real 6:30 to 6:30.
What about Turtle, though? He's got to be excited.
Oh, yeah. And his sleep is so inconsistent. Like, I honestly couldn't give you a bedtime, and I couldn't give you a wake-up time.
Why? Because he's always jacked, sometimes in the evening, or sometimes in the evening, then he might be tired one day.
No, the consistency is he's always jacked. Okay. That's the consistency. It's just, how can we harness, how do my wife and I do manipulating the night to get him into bed at a certain time?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like some days we do really good and we're on the same page and we can get him in bed at 8:30 and he's usually asleep by like 9. Other days,
not so much.
Not so much. We, for whatever reason, we just cannot get him to go to his bed.
Does it help in the fall when it's like darker earlier?
No.
You convince him, like, hey, no, it's actually midnight. Go
nothing
to bed.
Nothing helps.
Huh. That's nothing the helps. Worst, actually, when the time changes and it gets darker earlier in the winter.
Yeah.
Because it'll get dark at like 5:30, 6 o'clock, and then you've got, you know, 3 hours before bedtime. Well, like, I'm done.
Well, it's so funny. Moms specifically, like, I'm around a lot of moms, right? My sister's a young mom. My wife, we got young kids. That's kind of like where I'm at. It's just a bunch of young kids.
Group.
Yeah. And the moms are just so adamant about the new presidency going after the time change. Mm. And they're like, that's what they're all about. It's like, really? Not any, you know, like, not anything
nothing else.
But I do feel for them because, like, we had Romeo on November 3rd. A couple days later, time change. And it's like, dude, to do that to a baby when you're, or I guess it was a week later or something. And then at his 1-year-old, where they're already kind of like regressing and changing sleep, which thankfully he hasn't, but the other kids around us have. And then you switch it again on him an hour. Mm-hmm. Like, it really messes these moms up, or the babies, and then, you know, byproduct the moms.
I haven't gotten too deep in the whole time change thing. It'd be interesting to see what it looks like if it happened, I guess. I haven't really thought too much about it. I haven't thought too much about it.
It's just, for us, it's just a headache.
I just know that the older I get, the time change always kicks my ass for like 4 or 5 days afterwards. I'm like, I don't know.
It is just,
I don't know whether I'm coming or gone.
It is awkward. Like, you're living life, bebopping around, doing your thing.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden,
light till 6. You know, it's like, yeah, just bebopping. And then all of a sudden, one day, it's like, you know, don't forget to change your clocks, which doesn't exist anymore because everyone's phones and GPS watches. But
yeah,
I was thinking, walk out of work one day at 4:30. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's dark.
I've had plenty of times back in the day where I'm out hunting during that time, and it still freaks me out, even though you know your phone's going to switch over. Like, am I going to miss morning? Like, how early do I have to wake up, or can I sleep in later? I don't really know. I'm trying to calculate, then I'm not getting sleep because I'm thinking about
the third season Colorado deer special. It's like, please change. Please, I need to know my phone's going to change. Mm-hmm. I cannot miss this alarm.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst.
And then also,
and you're stressed all night.
Also, when it changes too, it messes up my rifle shooting schedule.
Excuse me?
Because when it gets light in the morning, because I want a certain amount of time to be able to shoot before I come to the office in the morning. So kind of like, so
you're like a bit, you're like my baby.
Yeah.
It throws my rifle shooting time off.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the summer for that same fact. Like, I can be up at the range really early, shoot my bow, and it's light. I do.
Well,
like
summer
that.
Is just because there's so much more light
in
a
day. Longer days, but
because
you'd have the same amount of light, whether the time change or not. Right,
because
now,
if I remember right, the morning it's going to get lighter earlier. Right?
I mean, technically.
So, but then my rifle range only opens at 7. So technically then the sun's already been up for a little bit. So it's actually a little bit warmer temperatures. And I'd rather shoot at colder temperatures to replicate hunting situations. So that's why the time change impacts me in the fall.
You couldn't shoot right now at 6 a.m. though.
It's
too
cold.
Dark. Well, it's too dark.
Yeah,
like,
it's too cold right now.
6 a.m. is still too dark.
Yeah,
it's dark.
It's like 6:15, 6:20 is kind of like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when I go to the desert,
it's light.
Let me tell you how cold that is right now.
You like shooting the cold, though.
I like shooting the cold. It's great.
But technically, though, even without the time change, it would still be the same amount
same
of hours
amount of light
of lighting.
In the day. Yeah, I mean,
it would just be in a different.
It is what it is. It just
is what it is.
It'd be different compared to like work schedule.
It just hurts when I go to the private range that I have that opens at 7.
Ooh, private range.
Because that way,
bougie.
because that way, you know, whatever the light is, it is, and I have to shoot at 7, but I'd rather have it be at 7 when the sunrise is really close to 7, because that means it's still cold out that time and the yeah. hasn't warmed yeah. up yet.
Yeah. So you're lobbying for it?
Yeah, I'll join the moms.
You join the
Dude,
moms.
Dude, they're serious about it.
Are we going to bring up Brady's new haircut?
I mean, I don't think it needs to be brought up. People are going to notice immediately.
I walked in today and I was like, "What the? Yeah. What happened to you? You look younger."
He looks so much younger.
Yeah,
you went back to.
It's literally been 11 years.
What was the name of the film that you hung in?
Elements.
Elements.
Yeah,
I don't think I was hunting that state.
That's exactly. Oh, yeah, you were hunting another state.
Hawaii.
Into Thin Air is when he shaved everything
off. I shaved everything. Yeah. I did the bad juju. So this morning I woke up, I was like, maybe it's kind of like shaving the bad juju off because I, you know, passed 1 million mule deer this year and didn't punch a tag on the fall hunts.
Yeah, so now you're resetting.
But more of the story is last night, and this is probably why you shouldn't go get $12 haircuts because I'm really cheap and don't spend money on my hair ever. And
bro, if there's a $12 haircut out there right now, I'm still getting it.
Yeah,
$12.
This is what you get for $12.
Yeah. Dude, I got my oil changed like a couple Sundays ago. Well, it's been probably a month ago, I guess, at this point. And I was like, God, I'm going to double dip here. I'm going to get my oil changed. I'll get my haircut at Walmart. I got a Walmart haircut.
How'd it go?
Terrible. It cost me like 20, cost me $26 and... less than 5 minutes. I could have done it at home with a pair of clippers, which typically that's what I do.
See, isn't that frustrating, man?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
The frustrating part of it was I paid $26 for it. That's what pissed me off. So that's why I said $12. Maybe.
You would take a bad haircut at $12?
I might, yeah. Just because I wouldn't have to clean up after it. That'd be all right.
Why don't you just go straight buzz?
I've done that.
Just go straight buzz.
Yeah, how much did she take? She took a lot off.
Yeah, like I was saying, like, oh, like, yeah, 10 you know, years. Like 2 in- I was like, what do you want to do with your hair? And I was like, you know, like, I don't know, 2 inches. You're a pro, so make it work how it's going to work. But yeah, I want it left long. And I don't know where the conversation got lost there because she's very talkative, and I don't like talking to people who cut my hair. I'm just sit there and zone out. And this is Sport Clips of all places. Mm-hmm. Like, please don't talk to me. Just let me just sit there. I was just starting to cut. And then I look back and I'm like, wow, there's nothing back there anymore. She's like, oh, how do you like it? It looks a lot, like you must feel a lot lighter because your hair was super long before. And I was like, yeah, I like that. Super long.
Yeah, actually, I preferred that. And, told you to leave it long.
My favorite thing was,
I'm too nice to say anything because I talked to her earlier about like, I don't really care. I don't know how people like, you know, get pissed off and like really upset. Like I've seen people at this place get really upset before about their haircut.
And you went back.
And that's why my girlfriend's like, this is why you shouldn't go back. You need to find a barber right now.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So I have short hair.
Yeah. Did you do the beard too?
No, I don't know.
You did that on your own?
I did my own, yeah.
Do you do the beard first for the haircut?
No, I went afterwards. Usually it's a better move to do it beforehand, I think. Yeah. And then it can blend it in if
you
want
to. I just thought maybe you came home from the haircut and you were like, I just need to make the front match the back. Yeah. Matchy, matchy.
So are you going to get the locks back in time, you think?
That's what I was talking to my girlfriend about last night. I was like, okay, when can I, like, Spring Bear is coming up. I need my hair back by Spring Bear.
I don't think you'll have it by then. I don't know. How much does hair grow?
Mine doesn't grow as much as it used to. You know, it's crazy. I cut my kids' hair, and it feels like I can cut their hair every 2 weeks, and I'm cutting a lot off. Mine, I can go like a month and a half now.
It's still the same.
It's still the same. Just doesn't feel like it grows the same. Same rate.
Spring Bear is technically 5 months away. That's a long time to grow some hair. Well, I'm not going to be really long, but...
I don't know the science of...
hair growth,
keratin and biotin, if that's even the, I think you that's can what
it's,
it is.
It's an average of a half inch per month.
Half inch
per month.
Yeah. So can I add some supplements to this?
Yeah.
Some
PEDs? You know what you can do is you can go to your local cow ranch and you can get some horse mane and tail shampoo. And that's supposed to help.
No way.
Yeah.
Supposed to?
That was a thing back in the day. You go.
The Utah chicks were using
that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You wash your hair and it helps your hair grow quicker.
Huh.
Try it.
Brady's just going to like it because it's horse mane and tail.
Yeah.
It's in a...
Go one with nature.
I can even still see the bottle. It's got like a blue bottle with a horse on it. It's kind of blue, white, and yellow.
We got to run a test.
You'll find it. Go on.
Brady's got to run a controlled test right now.
How fast can Brady's hair grow?
Oh, yeah, I want it back for bear hunting. I just feel, it just feels more normal to me to have long hair. And yeah, I get made fun of for my hair all the time, but I don't care. I enjoy it.
It's illegal in it's illegal mule deer baiting in 48 states. That's is that right. What they
say? The wind blowing through it.
Yeah, the wind blowing through it is considered baiting, and it's illegal in 48 some states for mule deer.
I would supposedly agree.
You can hunt 48 states for mule deer. Great.
We could test that one.
It'd
too.
Be a lot more opportunity.
Yeah. So short haircut. I feel naked today.
Yeah. So, should we hit promo? We're 10 minutes in. That's pretty good compared to what we have been doing.
We missed a couple back. A couple.
We might have missed one.
Yeah.
But.
Make it up to him this
the
time.
Hard part is you get a guest here and you get going.
You get going.
And sometimes it's like, you don't want to break the flow. You know, they got kind of a thought in mind and they keep rolling. That goes to the next one. You're on down the line. You're 40 minutes into it by the time. So.
Yeah.
But when you're with the boys, you can always just interrupt each other.
That's it. So I'll hit promo. You guys can use the promo code podcast to sign up for a Go Hunt Insider account. If you do that, we're going to give you 50 points, which is $50 back in the Go Hunt gear shop. You can use that towards the purchase of your own gear, since you'll have probably just had Christmas when this episode drops. You probably got, a tie or something you didn't want, and you could use you can use that money towards the purchase of any gear that you want in the shop that you want. So use that promo code. Now's a great time to sign up. We're headlong moving into app season. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. I thought it'd be a good time to catch up and find out kind of what this is like. Special requests. We've had people asking, like, what are your gear choices? What did you like this year?
Yeah. End of the year wrap up.
End of the year wrap up. Yeah. So today I wanted to talk about kind of some of the
did
best.
Did you guys post your Spotify wrap ups?
I did not.
No,
I did.
Nope. I did look at mine.
I didn't
you posted
look.
Yours?
I posted mine.
You
I
did?
I don't care. Some people are like embarrassed about the music they listen to. I'm like, whatever. I had one of my buddies text me. And he's like, that is the whitest top five songs I've ever
Do you
ever
remember
seen. That's your, Minnesota white.
Yeah.
Do you remember what your top song was? Surprise you? Were there any of those that you saw
bit.
And you're like, man, there's
How
no
do you
way.
Even look and see?
I don't
it's
know.
On your Spotify. Then I think it's down below. I don't know if they moved it. I thought it was more interesting about my Whoop summary thing, how it says like I still another year of not getting enough sleep to get by.
You said that.
Yeah, yeah, but that's I gained
you got 1%
a 1% gain.
That's pretty good.
That was my New Year's resolution last year, was to get better sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously I proved that you don't need sleep to function. Ooh, my top song, Cabo by Cole Wetzel.
I love that song. It's there a you great go. song. Where do you get it though? I want to see.
And
I've never even looked at mine.
I have two Cole Wetzel in my top five.
There you go.
Oh, three, sorry.
All I know
Dander,
is that
Normal, Creeps, and Cabo.
When I looked at mine, I was like, I must not listen to a lot of music on Spotify, because there's no way that I heard any one of these five songs more than five times in the entire year.
But the thing I thought was cool, though, is you see all the people that kept tagging us for Big Hunt Guys being in the top?
Yeah, that is cool.
So appreciate all you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for listening.
And I had a guy hit me up. He's like, why isn't Big Hunt Guys in your top?
Oh, none of my top five were hunting podcasts.
Well, because I just don't. I don't re-listen to a lot of our podcasts unless it's like a guest that I want to check out.
I get to listen live.
Yeah, exactly.
Where is it?
I've been...
Were you too late on yours? Today? I should get
I
it.
I don't know.
I've been really surprised at the number of people that are tuning in via YouTube. I don't know. That seems to be kind of a transitioning
thing. I'm a YouTube podcaster.
Are you?
Yeah.
If they do a video version?
Yeah, I listen to especially like all my... like human performance type podcasts I listen to. They usually throw up some graphics and things during that helps, a 101 non-doctor mind like mine actually understand what they're saying. So I do like podcast format.
I was listening to the one on the way down here today. This guy has a podcast called Knock Talk, which he had Greg Poole on, which he's got a podcast called Bo Junkie. And they were talking stabilizer setups and stuff. And that one, I was thinking, man, I probably do want to watch this one via video because I just want to see what he's talking about. Because there's so many times I could tell that he was like
pointing at something.
Yeah, pointing or using a reference, and trying to make a point. And I thought, this one doesn't quite translate via audio as well as it would via video. But anyway, shout out Sig.
We got to shout out Sig
to sponsor the podcast. Those guys have been with us for a while, but like probably a full, year? 6 months, I would think, at this point.
Yeah, as a sponsor of the podcast?
Yeah.
Maybe coming up on a year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Good question.
So,
Phenomenal optics.
Are those on your top five? Anybody?
Well, it's hard for me to put it on my top five because I've been using them
for a while.
For five year. So they, yes, they're part of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
but
if you
I was
told
trying
me,
to think about something under the radar.
Yeah, me too. But if you told me like top five that I couldn't live without, oh, it's absolutely in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's absolutely in a top five I couldn't live without.
Yeah.
If I had to pick five things out of my gear, that's for sure one of them.
Stabilized binos and their AK ballistic range finder.
Like, it really has changed things.
It's changed my entire hunting style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed a lot when I took my kid hunting because I gave him my my SIGs and let him use them. And it was so easy. Like, instead of like having to set my tripod up, get everything set up, put the, you know, the deer in the binos or the spotting scope and let him look at it, I could just point out the deer, if you could see it with a naked eye, and just say, look that direction and throw on that little image stabilization button. And he could throw them up and look at them. And then the other thing I think they're really, really handy for as a bow hunter, which I hadn't really thought like application of these binos, because I think it makes sense if you're horseback, you're in a boat, whatever it is, you know, you're moving, you're glassing, that makes good sense. But I think where they really are valuable is to like spot and stalk archery hunting or elk hunting. Like when you get in tight and you just want to pull up your binos and like look for an antler tip, or, you know, like this area I was hunting in Colorado was super Colorado, I said it. Colorado for elk. really super thick lodgepole pine, and like a bull would be 50, 80 yards, and you might only see just like a little. In fact, there was one bull. He came in, I bet he was, he went from probably 80 yards to 25 yards. And even like in between, I was just picking up glimpses of movement because it was so thick, you know? Yeah. And man, those are handy in that regard. You can just throw on a little stabilizing.
When you're in the dark woods, mm-hmm. those are it's the best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even
you can pick out just the slightest little thing.
Yep.
Even like my dad, because he's been, you know, I hand him to him on our family, you know, deer hunts we do every single year and let him look through them. And he has Sworo ELs. Like, he's always had Sworos, big Sworo guy. And he picked up a pair last year of the Sig Zulus, and he loves them. Mm-hmm. He, on my brother's elk hunt, I was like, hey, I noticed you didn't bring the Sworos. He's like, no, the Zulus are just so great. The stabilization, and he's getting older too, you know? So, but like the combo of stabilization and being able to hike around, and then when you get excited, you can still see things really crisp, or we're hiking up a mountain and you're kind of shaking and out of breath. Like,
yeah,
you're glassing, and you're glassing effectively.
Yeah. I had a lot of questions this year about those. Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild how quickly they have established themselves.
It's like how you know they're that good.
A pretty indispensable tool.
Yeah. When you got people messaging you and saying like, hey, I'm ditching my, you know, X glass, that, you know, gray glass, potentially brighter glass, but like the features of image stabilization is what I think outshines a normal pair of binos. And I do think I could outglass someone with the other pair, because like it just works in all sorts of situations. Not like maybe sitting down doing that one thing, mm-hmm. but collectively through a hunt, what allows you to glass while you're moving.
Yeah.
Like that's what's huge. Or, you know, my brother's elk hunt, we were driving on the road glassing 30 miles an hour driving. Like, where are those elk we see over in that chaining?
Yeah.
Like, as we're just cruising by, we don't want to stop because, like, we're going somewhere. Like, that's pretty cool.
It does break my heart a little bit to go into my little gear room and see, you know, like, two pairs of Leicas sitting there, some Tempa 42s. And
yeah,
like,
just collecting dust.
Yeah, what do I do with those? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, should we do that? Should we dive into gear first then? You want to do gear first?
I'm all for it.
Brady, ready to talk some gear?
I'm always ready to talk gear.
What do you got on your list for this year that you really liked?
So yeah, favorite gear of the year.
Maybe we should include things we didn't like at the end.
It would take a while to think about that. I might have to roll through it at the same time.
Yeah.
Because there's probably something I didn't like.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
It'll come to you. What do you got for what you did like?
Okay, what I did like. So I like a combo of, you know, a tripod that's super stable, so I can do some long-distance glassing, but also still relatively light. Mm-hmm. And over the years now, I've kind of migrated more towards a little heavier tripod because I want to be able to mount the Eyes of God on there and be able to glass really long distances. So the Tricer JC tripod.
Okay.
So that's the one that has all those crazy-looking knobs on the top. So basically, the biggest benefit to me on that one is it has a micro-adjust pan. So I can sit there with my spotter on there, or I can even mount my SIGs on there, and I have a little knob on the side. So instead of me like having a handle and having to move it left or right, like, you know, loosening everything up and move it to try to make it fluid, which it is fluid with their, you know, their BP head that I use. So I mount a BP head on top of that, but they have that little twist knob on the side, mm-hmm. and I can basically lighten up the tension on that, and I can just slightly move it. So I'm literally doing fine ass detailed glassing. like the best
detail. Love it.
Like, or like when you're on a spotter, you know, you kind of look like your binos, you're using your nose a little bit.
What are you glassing up?
Some fine ass detail.
Detail.
Yeah. Don't leave out the detail. Oh,
there's not a space there. It's fine ass detail. Not fine ass. Okay.
Hyphen.
Wait, then detail.
Okay.
But like, or you're glassing on binos or spotter, you know, you kind of have everything loose and you're using your nose to go back and forth, left and right. Well, now with this, you can like just slowly pan, you know, horizontally across the mountain, really, really precise, and then adjust it down a little bit and then go back and forth, and it just makes it so much easier. Or when I'm at the range and you're trying to, or even in the field, I'm trying to set up a kill shot, try to record it, and you're always taking your spotter and you get your phone on there, and it's like, oh, too far left, too far right, up and down. Well, I can just micro-tuner right in. And it makes it really, really slick. And then it has other tons of other features too, but that's the biggest feature to me on it. And it has these like leg weight add-ons. You can put these big giant spikes in there. So if you're, you know, maybe hunting from a side-by-side or a truck, you're not going too far away and you want really stable glass in the wind, I can just shove those feet in there.
How heavy is that thing, do you know? Heavy enough that you'd...
I backpacked with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I backpacked with it.
So it's not insanely heavy.
No, not insanely heavy.
It's not like 12 pounds or something.
Not even sure here where the weight it would be.
I remember when you had that in your office, I went in and picked it up and looked at it, and I was like, I don't know if I get this. And then you start working through the application of it, and you're like, yeah, I can see how that works.
Yeah, I can see it. Watching them use it yesterday, it's like,
oh. Oh, yeah, you did comment about that when we were doing that video.
I get it.
Yeah, I think for...
I see it.
For digiscoping, it would be incredible, I would think.
When I saw him using it, I'm like, oh, I get this.
Yeah.
This makes sense now.
So it's basically adjustable from 3 pounds, what it weighs, I think, without the legs, to 6.75 pounds.
That's with the weights
in there? That's with the weights in there.
3 pounds without the weights?
Mm-hmm.
That's not terrible. I mean, it's
but
like,
but again, I've had so
not
many
times... for a big tripod.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
terrible.
I've had so many times, though, where I like a lightweight tripod because I can, you know, it's just lighter. Less weight in the backpack when I carry a million-pound rifle and giant optics. But then that wind just affects everything.
Yeah.
Tripod's one of those things. There's nothing worse than throwing up your tripod in a little bit of a breeze or some windy conditions, and you just can't make out what you're looking at. It's the worst. It pisses me off so bad.
I literally had that happen on my rifle deer hunt this year. There was a buck that was 1,000 yards away. 1,000 yards is not that far. Especially when you're glassing with a giant spotting scope, but it was literally 40 mile an hour winds. And I did not have the legs in the tripod, and I'm putting the tripod as low as I can go, spotter on there. And I think everything just builds up so tall too, so that wind was hitting it. And I'm trying to digiscope this buck. I'm like, is this buck big enough? It's like one of those ones where it's like, I'm trying to convince myself it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to look at it. I could not determine if it was a 160 buck or something bigger or something smaller. So I'm like, we're just gonna sit here, wait till the wind dies, and I never did.
Yeah.
So
like, that's for a heavier tripod. If I had the legs on there, might have been kind
of
nice.
Yeah, I have all kinds of video through my phone. Digiscope is just shaky. I'll get out. You're like, I don't really know exactly what I'm looking at. Yeah. And then you can't really go back and look at it to field judge it, which sucks. So I guess in some cases it probably does make sense to pack something a little bit heavier as long as you can. Yeah, I know that you'd probably pack a little extra weight for a more stable view.
Yeah, I'd rather now go a little bit heavier just to be able to glass further, confirm animals, find more animals, that sort of thing.
So when's the stabilized spotting scope coming out?
Ooh.
That fixes that.
That would be so sick.
Yeah, I wonder. It'd be interesting to see.
I don't know either. So like that fixes that because there does become a point where there is literally nothing you can do. Like you could have the best tripod on planet Earth, best optic on planet Earth, and still gonna get shaky video, not be able to make it out.
Yeah, and that would be interesting to see how stable it actually is if they do it. Because would you even need a tripod? You throw it up on your backpack?
No.
That's a good question. It's a really good question.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
And then just quickly, I could mention the Tricer BP panhead as well. That's one that the big, like, basically looks like brake discs on the side that you just, like, move back and forth on it. So I can lock that thing on there really super tight when I don't want it to move. And if I don't want to use that little micro pan feature on the JC tripod, I can just, you know, move it somewhere else and then adjust it and pan really nice with it. So I really like that combo. It's a little bit heavier than their ultralight one, but it's virtually slick. And then clothing, I've really, really, really grown to love the Cirque Light jacket from Stone Glacier.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I can wear
base.
There
was three reallys in that,
really,
by the
really,
way.
Really, really, really.
Kind of like fine ass.
Kind of like fine ass.
What do you put a little more space in
give there. So somebody that may be not familiar with it, what's the makeup of that jacket? What's it like?
Basically, it's a balance of everything. It's kind of like a jacket I can run around in. It does have some like insulation properties, but it's not like something that's crazy insulated that I can't move around.
So it's a synthetic down.
Honestly, I can't remember off the top of my head right now. I have to pull it up.
Synthetic.
Synthetic, yeah.
Yeah.
And so you asked a rhetorical question there.
Sometimes I ask leading questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just like
test Brady out.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't memorize every piece of gear. I'm not that skilled like you, Trail. But I just like it because, like I said, I can put a base on underneath it. And I use it a ton spring bear hunting where it's just I'm moving constantly trying to glass. And so, like, I don't have to worry about, you know, my Grumman down getting absolutely destroyed. It does have a little bit more
durability
built into it a little bit. And it's just that piece that it works well underneath other layers. It really does. And, like, yeah, sure, I could have the normal Cirque jacket, but, like, I already have Grumman down jacket. And then this just fits really, really well together.
Renzo's got to pee.
Oh, that's funny.
He gone. Are you wearing that? So you're wearing it as kind of your face jacket, yeah. Most of the time.
Yeah, because I feel like I can also lean back in glass, and not because that's why I don't really like a lot of times leaning back with a actual down jacket on.
Yeah, because you get holes in it.
Because I get holes in it. I'll lean against a lot of sharp rocks.
I got one in my truck right now. It's got a giant square hole in the back from the exact same thing. Just laying back against the ledge on it.
So I will lean in glass on stuff or lean against, you know, logs or sticks, and I feel like it's totally fine.
What temperature rating would you give it as far as like what temps would you wear that would be like the only jacket that you take?
40s.
40s? Yeah, so it's 40, that warm?
Yeah, 45 maybe.
Got you.
Because, like, on my bear hunt, I literally hiked up a giant chunk of a mountain and then killed my bear.
I did not have to pee, by the way.
You did. I forgot. I'm going to have to pee.
Made a fatal mistake of forgetting my podcast PEDs.
I was hoping that you had and to, and you set the precedent so that later on when I just stood up, I was like, oh, that's go. How you do it. You don't have to say it. No. Make a whole thing of you should get up and go.
We all know what Lorenzo's gear of the year is.
I realized PEDs. It hit me like I don't have
you
it.
Go.
There's no way I could be on here for an hour and a half without these. So.
Yeah. How does that fit? You like the way it fits?
Yeah, I like the way it fits.
Gotcha.
Fits me really well. I actually just washed it for, I think, the second time yesterday. It's nasty dirty right now. Like I was like, I don't know how this is going to all come out, but it all came out really well. A lot of blood on it. Because I also wore it when I was cutting up my brother's elk. And it's just like, you know, it's kind of like a workhorse insulation piece to me.
Do you dry it? Throw it in the dryer?
No, I don't dry it.
Hang dry?
Can I ask you guys a personal question?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the smell of elk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I do. I enjoy that musk.
I do too.
Yeah,
like if you made that in a cologne.
But I don't know if I actually like it because I like it, or if I like what it represents and means to me. Right.
So that's a really good point. But when it's on my clothes or on my gloves or like it's on my bow from when I was taking pictures, I like it. Yeah. Like I don't actually want to wash that off.
I think when you catch a whiff of it, it just takes you back.
Yeah, you're like, ooh, there it is.
It is crazy how your senses are so tied to memory, right? Mm-hmm. So smell, I think, is one of those. Like you can smell a certain, you know, smell, and it'll take you right back to a moment. And it's always something you love, right? So you smell something, you're like, ah. Yeah. You don't ever smell something bad and like think, ah.
That's a good, honestly, is a good question if I like it or if I like what it represents. But like when it's on my backpack or butchering a bull with a jacket on or something, I don't want to wash it. I like putting it on and smelling that.
If they made it in a cologne, about your wife wouldn't love it.
Well, she would not love it. That's for sure.
Lorenzo, just a rutting bull, comes storming home.
It's about what my house looks like on a daily basis, but yeah.
So that's a good one. I like the jacket. What else you got?
This is one I think we're going to disagree on a little bit.
Uh-oh. You told me this.
Yeah, I do.
You didn't tell me what it was, but you said I was going to disagree.
Yeah, I enjoy the Stone Glacier de Havilland light pant a lot. See, the de Havilland light or the regular de Havilland, I enjoy both those pieces. I think they work really well for my body type. Love that little contoured waist. I can adjust it on the go on a hunt.
Have you ever used the contoured waist?
Yeah, all the time. I literally do. It fits perfectly. It makes it so I don't have to like.
I know it fits.
The guy's 6'5", weighs 170 pounds.
So this is the problem with me.
Yeah, what are you losing?
He likes his body type, which
I'm a tweener size.
0.001.
Okay.
I'm very much a tweener size.
As am I.
Yeah. So like
that's my biggest beef with their pant.
No, that's the biggest benefit of their pant.
My beef with their pant is the fit.
Because I can't use so. I've used Sitka forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have to do either, I think it's like a 34, like tall. I think I actually make 34 talls. And I think the reason I'm a 32 waist, but they don't make 32 longs.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get 32, it's high water. So I have to always do 34 longs on Sitka, and it just it doesn't fit very well. By the time, especially when I'm through my hunt, I'm literally cinching that belt down. Now I have that fold-over piece of material where the de Havilland, I don't get that at all. I don't get a pinch anywhere in my backpack with heavy loads.
Mm-hmm.
It just fits perfectly, and I can adjust the contour as I go through on the waistband. I use it the entire hunt. Beginning, and I'll adjust it mid, and I'll adjust it at the end. It fits my body so great because I'm a tweener size. It makes that material just mesh perfectly against my waist.
Yeah.
Love it.
My problem is that the size that fits my waist is like way baggy in the legs from the thigh to the calf all the way to my boot.
And then the gym.
The smaller size, the smaller waist size fits my legs really nice, but it's just like a smidge too small. So it's like either hit the gym, like you're saying, and build out those glutes.
But you actually have big legs,
yeah,
though.
Giant calves. Yeah. Or I lose
some weight.
Yeah. Which you've got those Utah implant calves. Yeah.
So that's what I got.
Yeah.
Implants. Yeah. Yep.
Which
is genetic, by the way.
I think we should go get a pair, and we should throw it on right now. And I want to see. Look, because we're similar.
The other part of their pant I don't necessarily really like is the rise. To me, they're like they're a little too high rise for me. Like they end up clear up underneath my belly button to get them to fit right for me. And so then I don't know if I like. I like the pocket configuration. I like a lot about that pant, but the fit for me is like the end all be all. Like if a pant doesn't fit, doesn't feel good on me, like
that's the first pant I put on them. Like this pant fits me perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Fair that's enough. Probably a sign though that it doesn't fit anyone else.
Was yeah.
I did wear them. So I wore them elk hunting. I wore the Havilland Life for 5 days, and then I wore the 206. The 206 actually like decently.
No, I don't like that pant.
Yeah, I like the way it fit better than the light. But I don't really. I'm not like in love with either of them, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly fit.
And this is the first hunting pant I've had that's actually long enough inseam for me.
Yeah, I could see how that is.
I could see that.
That's a big deal to me. Yeah. I hate sitting down and having my pants go really high up,
yeah,
or just not being able to fit, because then it feels like everything else just doesn't fit right too.
Yeah, I can see that being a big deal for you.
And the way their zip goes all the way down, I love the big zip. I mean, yeah, Sitka finally, you know, has a couple or one pant now that has a zip or two.
You're
pants.
You're talking the zip clear to the calf.
Yeah, I love being able to dump it because you don't have to use it, Trill, if you don't want to. You don't have to go all the way down. You can stop where you want to.
I have to hike with it all the time. Yeah.
And you can feel it.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, right at my knee, that articulated knee where it's supposed to be articulated, you have this big, thick zipper that goes right along the outside of your knee, and it's just is like
that's
constantly
what I was saying in our
flexing
meeting.
And bending.
And you didn't. I mean, you were on page with me, but you weren't this like adamant about
it. Well, I knew it wasn't going anywhere to go longer. If it would have gotten to the point where we thought we were going to take it clear to the calf, then I would have been loud.
Yeah, because my thing. Stone Glacier makes a lot of really good shit. Like, there's no doubt about it.
And the pants are good. They're just not good for me.
Exactly.
They're great for
Brady. The fit of the pants. It doesn't matter what size I get. The fit just does not fit right. It's uncomfortable. They just don't fit right. I could see you're saying they fit your body type. Yeah, that's probably a sign it's going to fit
no one else properly. Do you know the other thing I don't like about the zipper thing while I'm on it? Sorry.
Well, that's what
my biggest
passion about the zipper thing is I do have big legs. Mm-hmm. I have thick knees. I have big legs. I feel that zipper line.
Me too.
Constantly. Yeah. The whole time I
never
hike.
Feel it.
It's always right at a point where it's like constantly flexing on the outside of my knee.
Drives me nuts.
Me too. No. And I don't know why would you want to open your vent clear to your calf anyway? Then you're going to fill it full of all kinds of brush and seeds and shit.
You've been hunting in a hot environment, Trail.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time. You ever climbed a mountain in a hot environment and you're like, shit, I'm so freaking hot.
No, the other thing, when you open those up, it's like a sail on a boat. It just flaps.
No,
it's like,
I'm giving you the use case right now. You're hiking in a hot environment. You're finally getting up atop the glass. You are sweating. You want to just dump all that heat and cool your body down so you don't freeze. So I'm sitting there.
Pants off, dance off it's that hot.
For real.
That's dumb, because what if all of a sudden now you hear a bugle down Bully Trail, you have to get your pants on and go
back
run down
on.
There.
Back on.
You have your boots off, you have your yard
kill
sale.
Things in his underwear.
Let me get to the use case. You're sitting there. You zip them all the way down. You fold the thing. You pull the pant over, and now your knees are sticking out, and you are dumping heat, cooling off really super quickly.
I don't run that hot.
Me either, especially on my legs. That's the other thing I don't.
All I need is to the knee.
Like, there is heat mapping on the human body, and the calf does not show up on heat mapping.
But the heat is rolling through there. when you're sitting down. It's not just sitting in one spot saying, I'm waiting to get out. It's moving through.
I mean, the heat is coming from your undercarriage.
It's moving through your pant, though, I'm saying. So that's why when you open it all the way up and you're sitting, heat's going to rise. It wants to get out. So dump it out past your knee. Just dump it out. And then you can zip it back up. And you don't feel it. You don't have to use it all the time.
No, that's the thing. You don't have to use it all the time, but it is there all the time. So when I'm hiking,
you don't notice
my legs are thick enough that they hit all four sides.
Yeah, it's just so money.
I've never used the vent past my knee.
Me
that's
either.
One thing. Two, the contour waistband with the Velcro and all that. I hate the fact that it doesn't have a button. I just want a pants button. I just want to button my pants. I want to undo my zipper to take a leak. I don't want to
be normal.
Yeah, the Velcro in it is noisy.
And no.
It is around your crotch.
It never makes a noise.
Yeah, for sure it does. And it's this
Brady's
wide,
tucking, so he doesn't make noise.
The Velcro on that piece is like
yeah,
2 or 3 inches. I've never used it one time ever. I've never rotated it over.
Maybe
or
I think
back.
You're using your pants improperly and you're getting the wrong size to begin with to be able to. Actually
I'm telling you, I've tried
function.
Both. I've got both sides. I've got.
You tried a medium, large.
I've got all three. I've got larges. I've got medium talls. I've got medium larges. I've got them. Like I got them. And like I said, the 206 isn't that bad. I like the 206 decently. And I like the pocket configuration on the light, the Havilland light. I like mm-hmm. those two front cargo pockets and the way mm-hmm. they're angled in. I like the flaps on them. There's a lot I like about that pant, but fit for me is everything. And like
me
that
too.
Pant just doesn't fit for me.
I'll put it to you this way. Fits so much for me. I've tried on every pair. I've never even worn them in the field, so I really don't have a ton to talk about them, but they are so uncomfortable in here, I won't even think about wearing
here's,
them.
Here's another thing. So the De Havilland Light, right? You've worn it for 8-10 days. Do you feel like that pant gets like more crusty?
Like I feel like it's more baggy throughout the
more,
whole thing.
More baggy. I feel like it stretches some, but I feel like it feels kind of crusty on your skin that I don't really get with other options.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say,
and like they probably, could walk out on their own, I feel like at the end of
you'll probably agree with me on this is I've said it for the longest time, they need to come out with a lighter De Havilland, even before, because I had a pair, it wasn't long enough back
lighter
the
than the light you
no
mean?
when they first came out with theirs, their normal one is too heavy, and they came with the light
mm-hmm.
and I still think the light is not light, it's still too heavy for all these early season hunts.
Yeah.
Early season mountain
which
hunt.
Which the 206 is kind of that.
But then you have the internal, you don't have the zips on the outside. They put the zips on the inside on that, and
that's
I hate
where,
that.
It's where your heat is, man. I actually like that.
I don't like it at all.
I thought it was decent.
I don't like that at all. Inside zips?
Mm-hmm.
No. Outside zips. So they put outside zips
on? You obviously
on?
Don't have chub rub. Which, Brady, I feel like you would like the inside zips. Your legs don't rub at all.
I know. I like the outside zips. I like to be able to dump it and control it if I want to. A lot easier. And then.
All right. We spent a fair enough amount of time on this one.
I'm going to get a pair of pants and let you try them on.
I'm going to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
You won't win me over on this one for sure. Guaranteed. I've tried them.
I've just worn them around the office. I can feel the zipper on my knee.
Many times. I've worn them. So I appreciate your opinion. And I think it there's a specific person that likes that pant. So if you're...
If you're built like Brady.
If you're built like Brady. And there's a lot of people like them, but for me, they're not really wouldn't be my first choice.
Yeah.
What else you got?
I'll cut it off there since I took it off.
No, come on. You got one more. You got one more?
I got a lot more.
Oh, let's hear
a
one
lot more.
Let's hear one more.
Go hunt Dyneema tarp.
Okay.
I always love having a tarp, and I love this 8x10. Good size, lightweight, color guide lines. It just enables me to glass during inclement weather situations, which... I don't want to go back to camp. I want to be able to sit there and just ride it out.
Do you know how much it weighs? I was going to ask. We'll jump to Lorenzo while you find out how much it weighs. But
I already found out it weighs 11.7 according to Go Hunt.
It's pretty good.
It is good.
It is a nice start.
Yeah.
I can.
That's on my list as well.
Oh, wait. Right, that's total weight. That's with steaks and a bag.
Steaks and a bag.
8.8 ounces, no bag or steaks.
Snap. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely on my list.
Yeah.
It's just so versatile to have.
It 100% is versatile, and it legitimately saved me and Omar this year.
Yeah, you guys got snowed on.
I mean, like beyond snowed on. That is the wildest September storm I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
There was two cycles of it, the first one and the second one. The second one was way worse than the first, and it legitimately saved us because we were bivy style, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And you bring the tarp, just, you know, they're super versatile during the day, glass and inclement weather, ride out a storm, whatever. But, like, I mean, you don't really think about having to stay alive in a shelter mm-hmm. with a tarp, right? But the way they're you can guideline them out, the size of them, like yeah. dude, we were covered.
Yeah, when it rains and gets snowy too, it doesn't stretch like a normal nylon does. It stays tight.
That was my favorite part because mm-hmm. our cameraman was in silt nylon, like normal shelter. I won't say which one, but dude, just completely waterlogged, soaked, sagging like crazy.
Yeah.
And Omar and I are just chilling. Like shelter was the same way we built it, riding out both storms as it was when we first built it.
Dyneema is the way to go. I understand it's more expensive and you have to really think about that purchase, but like
the material,
I'd rather not have to buy a tarp multiple times because, you know,
yeah,
silt nylon just sags all the time. And like, yeah, sure, Dyneemas also can get cut, but so can silt nylon. Like,
yeah, I'll give you a fun fact too. There is no pattern to Dyneema. So it's kind of fun to sit there when you're riding out a storm for 6 hours, just staring at the detail in the Dyneema and trying to find a pattern because you won't find a pattern. I did that for hours. It's kind of cool to, you know, look at and see how wild it is. Something to
your mind, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kept trying to find a pattern. Never saw it.
Yeah. It is light. It's waterproof. It doesn't stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there is one downfall, it's kind of pricey. But it's like, I don't know. It's like anything, right? You buy once, cry once. Yeah. I feel
materials. Like. Mm-hmm. That's the thing with materials. They get pricey.
I've literally been underneath that thing so many times this year, mm-hmm. on scouting in the summer in the high country, the muzzleloader hunting where I literally was like, I could probably die right now because of this lightning storm. And it was so windy where I'm having to grab the tarp as well. Even though I have a guy lined out everywhere because that tarp's just going up and down. And I'm just like, yeah, this sucks. Hailing everywhere, giant hail balls. And I'm like, I could die. And the tarp just takes it every time.
Here's the other thing it's really good use for, that the Dyneema material. It's like when I killed my oryx in New Mexico, trying to get it all off the body and lined mm-hmm. out and off the bone and all that as fast as possible because obviously it's hot out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also extremely dusty and dirty. Dude, you can lay meat and blood and all kinds of shit on Dyneema.
Yeah.
Fold it back up, whatever, take it home, spray it off in 10 minutes, and it's just good as new. Yeah. Like it doesn't get waterlogged, doesn't change anything. Just spray it off, mm-hmm. done, ready to go again.
Yeah.
It's awesome for meat care.
I've done that too. Use a tarp, throw your meat on.
Yeah. But it's better that like silt nylon, I feel like, holds a lot of stuff. Dyneema just washes right off.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Dyneema is great too. Like if you're, like if you get caught in a storm and you do need to dry that thing out, you can shake it off, right? Yeah. So you can shake off most of the moisture. Whereas silt nylon seems to soak that stuff up.
Exactly.
You got to hang it out to dry and it takes a lot longer.
That's why cleaning silt nylon, if you're using that for meat care, is way worse.
Yeah. That's a good one. What else you got? So
that's on mine. Brady stole that one from me. My number one though on my list is, this is a little bit cheating because it's not out yet, but our atmosphere mm-hmm. zip up jacket.
Are we calling it?
Yeah. Yeah. It is, man, that was like, that got me through the craziest of crazy and also just like nice mornings into the afternoon.
So what is it?
I would say the most comparable thing to it is the Sitka Ambient, which is what you're wearing.
Yep. Just kind of in the same vein as the jacket that Brady brought up from Stone Glacier. They're all kind of the same.
Yeah, very similar.
They're a little bit of a lofty fleece, inner, super lightweight.
Jack of all trades kind of a jacket, you know?
Yep. You can do everything with them.
You can do everything with it. And, man, I was insanely impressed. The level of work we put into that and like the thought of materials and what we're doing inside the sleeves to the body and all, it was awesome. Yeah. Absolutely love that piece. Cannot wait for it to come out.
Warm weight ratio
was good. It is incredible.
Super warm for the weight, and then also synthetic and would dry super quick, right?
Yep. And also, what's the word? Durable. Like super mm-hmm. durable. I mean, I beat the shit out of that thing in New Mexico and all over the place. It is incredibly durable.
Do you know what's the timeline on that?
Spring is the last I heard.
So we should all be rolling in it by next fall.
Yeah. Yeah. We should all be in it by next fall. It went through the paces this year to get the final sign off, and it's like, it's good to go.
Was the one you were using have kind of like a mauve color interior? Yeah. Or was that another prototype?
So... You know, turns out that the prototyping world isn't very understood, which I get because not a lot of people do it. But the colors you get in is just whatever they have, because you're obviously not waiting on a certain color to get a prototype. You just want to make sure it's the right materials, the right fit. That's the other thing, too, is I focus so much on the fit of this jacket, because that's one thing about jackets too, is they got to fit right, because they're obviously going over something. And a lot of the times their jacket like that is also going to go under something. Mm-hmm. So it has to fit a very specific way. So that's like what you do prototyping for, is all of that. And you just take whatever color they got. So yes, there is a maroon-ish, pinkish inside.
And when that film comes out, people have to realize that's not the final color.
That is not the final color.
Yeah, I remember seeing that either in a photo or in here in the office and thinking, oh, that's an interesting combo. Because the outside's camo, like our Go Hunt camo, right?
But why we did that is to make sure that the color was proper. So we did wait on that. Mm-hmm. We told them, like, hey, get the right materials to do our camo print on, because we want to make sure the colorway is right. Yeah. But everything else, like, yeah, just fucking throw it together.
Yeah. You know? So I had those prototype pants on yesterday when we were doing the video shoot. And then Paul posted that one Instagram story and I reshared it. I had three or four DMs like, what the heck are you wearing on your legs? Like, because of the colors. And we already went over the prototype colors before.
They looked a little narrow from the knee down.
Oh, yeah, they're very narrow. But again, this is prototyping.
That's it.
Like the next one, our next pant that rolls in, I can promise you, is also going to be hideous colors, because I'm not going to wait on the colors we want.
Yeah. Hopefully they're like yellow.
And so like, why would I wait right now and trying to get the cab area and all that stuff fixed on the next one when I could be testing everything else? Like,
Durability materials,
pocket pockets. Like, I was throwing my Archer release in the pocket the other
day. Why do we let you wear them? We already have established that you suck at picking pants that fit.
I know. I wish the zip would go down further.
Oh, it is going down further, just not to the ankle.
I know, but it just needs a little bit more. I want to be able to dump heat.
So when you get yours, just take it to a seamstress, split that down the side, and run a zipper all the way to your
cap. And the only reason why I'm wearing it is because I'm the only one who kind of can. It's way too big for me. It's a 34.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I guess floating on me. I have to cinch a belt down.
You told
so
me
tight.
To go to the gym. You need to eat a sandwich. That's what you need to do.
He needs to eat like...
You need to eat some cheesecake.
A lot
done.
More sandwiches than just one.
More things than just bear meat and mule deer.
He's victim weight, dude.
Uh-huh.
Total victim weight.
What does that even mean?
You know what it means.
Wow.
You could be thrown into a van real easy. The victim way.
Do you have any others that popped up for you?
Yeah, I was trying to think. I was going to reach out today, but the new backpack I was wearing. Am I allowed to talk about that yet? Do you know? No.
I don't know if I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
The one I wore on the third season in Colorado.
I don't know that I know.
Keep it hush hush. I know.
We might have to bleep this out.
But yeah, I don't really know.
Those new backpacks.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No. Nope. Better write that timestamp down.
Yeah, write that timestamp down.
Just put a big bleep.
Yeah. Well, it is, dude.
You liked it?
Yeah, a lot. They changed a lot about it. The suspension, the load shelf.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It is.
Right on.
They fixed a lot of things.
Pinch points?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love a new backpack.
Yeah. I was blown away. Packed out three bulls in 4 days or whatever it was in Colorado.
Straight beast mode.
Used it, you know, in all kinds of different settings.
Right on.
Dude, it's awesome. It rides so nice comparative to what it was.
I'd assume that's probably a spring timeline as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's the hard part right now, huh? You get to test a lot of gear in the fall and then it doesn't really actually get a chance to hit market. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun for us. Sucks to wait, I guess. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Well, I mean, shit, we have to wait, though, too.
Yeah.
Because they just sent us the ones that they had. That's not necessarily the bag that I want.
Yeah.
But it's on this, you know, it's on the new suspension, the new load shelf. So I got to test everything, which is great. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily the color or size of bag that I would want. So I have to wait, too.
Did you get in the color I like?
I had to use the color that you like, which I think is hideous. So
wait till you see it. You'll see maybe why I like it.
I like the color of the previous versions that they've done, the two-tone. I thought it was sick.
So they have a really sick two-tone of this, just not in the two-tone that Brady.
I don't know why I like it. Here's the thing.
Brady's colorblind.
Color's blind.
I keep telling him, like, hey, how you're seeing this is not how it looks.
It's not the way that
one day I'm going to figure it out.
It might look cool to you, but it doesn't look how you're seeing it.
Yeah. But it's true. We always have to throw a lens on and be like, all right, yes, Brady's weird. He's colorblind.
Weirdo.
But those are my three.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
T-Rail, what's yours?
Yeah, I had, I'll stay on the go.
Can't wait to roast yours. Roast your favorites like you ripped mine
apart. You can't roast them.
We only roasted one of yours.
You can't roast them.
And you lost 2-1.
They're tried and true.
I always lose with you guys. You guys are back on the other guy. I'm used to it.
They just gang up on you. Yeah, I'm going to stay on the Go Hunt train. So the Go Hunt Basin Marina was one of my very favorite pieces for the year. The weight of that is really nice. The feel on your skin is good. It's great, actually. I really like it.
It's like pajamas, like soft pajamas.
It is like pajamas, kind of. Do you know what it actually kind of feels like? You guys have like any MeUndies? Any of those? You know what those are? You ever tried them? No? Similar feel.
I just can't get behind the name.
You can't?
No, it sounds stupid.
Fair enough. You should get some.
Are they good? Do they make long cut?
Yeah, they make various cuts, but just the feel on them is pretty nice. Huh. But the feel on this Merino, the Basin Merino, is it's got like enough stretch in it. It's a combo, right? So you've got a little bit of stretch, some lycra in it. You also have Merino and then some nylon. But to me, it feels like the perfect weight for like base layer, whether you're going to add on top of it for late season stuff, or if you're hunting early season, just to wear as like your exterior layer midday. Mm-hmm. I like the quarter zip on it with the hood. We also make it in a crew. But I really like that piece.
So the quarter zip doesn't bother you hiking around all the time, huh?
Not to my chest.
Not to your chest?
Not to my chest.
Quarter zip?
It's not... It's not moving, man, like your legs are. Your legs are bendy.
I just want to throw it out there.
Fair enough.
I'm not a Merino.
I have not always been either.
I don't like Merino, so I haven't worn it.
I think you would like it. It's actually super soft, and I don't think you would feel like you're wearing Merino.
Yeah. I took myself out of the Basin prototyping. I'm not a Merino guy.
But it's probably about as well as you can say it, I would say. I don't really like the feel of Merino either on my skin, but it doesn't feel like Merino.
Does not. And that's what I think I enjoyed with the times that I've used it. I brought it on my brother's elk hunt. I used it on a couple of my other deer hunts this year in combination with some other pieces. And I did grow to love it as well. And I went away from Merino.
Mm-hmm. Does I used the to be all Merino like some of the other?
No.
Really?
It's got kind of that wet sheepdog smell when you wet it out, you know? But it doesn't stink like BO.
Yeah. And then, like, washing it comes right back, and it's still just as soft.
That's the other thing, is that piece I can throw in my dryer, because I've done both. I've washed it, then air-dried it, or I've washed it and thrown it in my dryer, and it doesn't shrink up like a...
Like some of the other stuff.
Yeah, like a little kid's pajama top, you know? But, yeah, I do. I really like that piece. So I had that one on my list.
Do you have the leggings?
I don't wear leggings. What, you wear leggings?
Yeah, when it gets cold.
No.
You don't hunt.
I don't hunt when it's cold. Dog.
Yeah, your hunt's end of September.
He's a bow hunter, man. He's done. He's been done for a while.
No, I haven't used the leggings.
Leggings are sick.
So they zip clear to the bottom.
Mm-hmm. You can take them all the way off. So that way you can have them on in the morning a little bit, start hiking, get hot, take them off, put them back on when it gets cold. Really, really good piece. Yeah. And they just pack up so small. Like I can just shove it in like a side pocket in my backpack if I have to stop and drop my drawers and pull my leggings off.
That's probably another reason why you like that zip to your ankle, is it allows you to take your leggings off easier.
I can do it multiple different ways.
That's a good point.
That's a valid point. Although
that's actually the first valid point for that.
I agree. It kind of hit me right there too. But in Colorado, it was so damn cold, I never took my leggings off.
Yeah.
I wore the Stone Glacier leggings, which I love.
I don't wear tights that often. Yeah. Pretty rare. Unless I'm running in the morning.
Yeah, so that's where I wear them too. Yeah. They're really good for running.
Fair enough. Other pieces. So I had the that brand new Matthews UV slider sight. So Matthews worked with UltraView to put together a new slider sight, which took kind of the things that I liked the most about the slider, the original slider sight from UV, and then incorporated into like this new smaller, lighter weight package. So the total thing is like 9 ounces. So it's super lightweight. It's got a shorter dovetail bar. They took the bend out of the bar, which kind of defeats the purpose a little bit of like mounting that sight directly in your riser in the bridge lock. And then probably the biggest thing that I like that for that sight for is that they now have 5 pins. So it's got a 5-pin option. 4 of the pins are adjustable within the housing. So you got a center pin that's stationary. You can use that for your slider, or you can use your bottom pin for the slider. But you can move the other 3 to kind of slide in. And then I think hands down, they have the best ergonomics as far as the sight goes. Every other sight on the market, it's a slider sight. If you use the dial, you're going to, you know, knuckle buster, you call it, right? So you're going to bang your knuckles on your left and right elevation, or not your elevation, but your left and right adjustment. Their knob is like perfect location. And then the little locking mechanism is like right underneath your finger. So
was it this site that someone commented on a bunch of our YouTube or one of our YouTube videos or someone else's? Does it actually lock?
I would say, I mean, like if you really cranked on that thing, you could
maybe
move it.
But
I would
say the guy was mentioning.
Yeah, I would say it locks firm enough that I don't really worry about it when it's locked out. Yeah, I mean, if you really cranked on it, I think you could move it. Mm. I'm sure, but I can't really think of a site on the market that you couldn't if you really torqued it.
That's one thing I didn't know. I didn't know if he was being honest. Like there was no locking mechanism. So when you're telling me there is, I'm like, okay.
Well, I can tell you, so I've got two of them. The one I have is like pre-production. That one did not completely lock. Like you could move it more than I would have liked. The actual production version, that one is pretty stout. Like I wouldn't have concerns, especially the way with that knob is built. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's got any, you know, fins or anything sticking off on it that would, you know, you would bump on a tree or if you drag that through brush, like it would roll. It's just like a rubberized knob. It's easy to grab. It's big.
Yeah. So I haven't looked at it too much that I can remember. Is a multi-pin from the side or from the bottom?
Horizontal multi-pin.
Did it have an ability to go up from the bottom?
You can get a three-pin version where your pins, it's got three pins stacked in line on a center post.
Center post, yeah. I like that.
So you can do that. Yeah.
You're the only one lucky enough to get that.
Yeah.
That sight.
It works pretty good.
Do you kill animals with it this year too?
Shot an elk with it.
Yeah.
Yep. I didn't get it until like maybe what, September 1st, something like that, I guess. It was like throw it together and play with it and see how it goes. But I like the weight of it, right? So it's like this nice little compact package. Yeah. The other cool thing is you can exchange the cartridges, the pin housings. It's got one set screw that comes in from the side. So if you want to switch from a 5-pin to a, you know, vertical 3-pin or, you know, whatever, horizontal 3-pin, you can do it. It just takes one little set screw. You just pop it out and pop a new one in.
Because that was intriguing me. Like, cause I keep thinking I should maybe update my bow from the old Atlas.
Be a good year to do it.
Yeah. And then, like, because you got all the new bow from Matthews.
You with how this, you this shot set. Yesterday, you sure about that?
I know. I shoot my Atlas really good.
You sure about that?
I know. I just want some updated tech and like
shot really good yesterday.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah,
that new. I think it's the LS. You should probably jump into one.
Man, people send me a lot of DMs asking if I'm going to switch, and I kind of want to check out some of this new stuff.
The other cool thing about that side is it's got a sight light in it built into the front part of the housing, and they send you like a little adapter. So if you want to pull that light kit out and you don't want to use it and you just want to use like your regular white ring, you know, that goes around the front of your housing. But the light kit is really clean, super streamlined. It's one little button on top and it's rechargeable, which is pretty cool. So you don't have to go buy those little stupid flat batteries at Walmart and fit those in. But you click it on and off, and it's not legal everywhere to shoot with the sight light, which I don't know exactly why.
Yeah.
Seems strange to me. I don't think there's this. Maybe it would encourage you to shoot later into the night than you would.
I mean, you still can't see the object, though.
Yeah.
It's the same. My thought process on that is like all these optics, all these rifle scopes, all about collecting light, collect the most amount of light. Collect the only way archery can collect light is that way, just to see your pin.
There's some part of me that kind of understands why they don't allow you to, because I can't do it on my open sight muzzleloader.
You can't collect light.
I can't
light
have a light.
That.
I can't have a light.
But you
on my
can
open
on
sight.
All your rifle scopes, and everyone talks about, oh, it collects so much light. Like, so you can build them to collect more light on that.
Collect light in terms of optic quality. I'm talking about sight light.
Yeah, but
like I can't have a lighted crosshair on the front of my open sight muzzleloader that would allow me to shoot.
I understand like the difference of one is an actual light and one is collecting light, but they do build these rifle scopes to collect as much light as possible to shoot in the first 30 minutes or last 30 minutes of light.
Yeah.
Archery, really difficult.
You're always in the shadows.
I mean, if you look at state laws, right? So half hour before sunrise, hour after sunset, right?
Yeah.
Within that time frame,
it is so hard to shoot.
Legal shooting light, you still really kind of struggle sometimes to see your pins, right?
Which
you're within the law. You could execute a shot if you could see your pins.
And so naked eye, you can sometimes really see them fairly easily. But it's like, looking through the pin, it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is like if you're in varying light conditions. So like if you're in the shade, you know what I mean? It's kind of nice to have the sight light.
I had to walk over from my bull that I killed with my muzzleloader because I couldn't see because it was 20 minutes till dark. And it was 250 yards away. Couldn't kill him. If I had a sight light on my open sight muzzle, I probably could have killed him.
You think?
Probably could have maybe made that shot for sure.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
That was a point to your thing. Like, I can see why they don't allow them in some states.
I don't know.
The archery thing, because it is a primitive weapon. I mean, it's primitive, but it's not, as we proved yesterday.
They're not as primitive as a longbow, we'll say that, but you still got to get within a pretty reasonable yardage to execute and actually make a shot for most folks. Yeah. So that was one of mine. A couple other ones I had. So the Kafaru, the Bedlam, so the arc frame, I really like the arc frame. This has been like the first year that I've used other packs. I've used Mystery Ranch packs and Stone Glacier packs, mostly Stone Glacier over the last probably 7 years, I guess. So the Kafaru, I like the arc frame. I felt like it rode really well. I really like the suspension in it. So the hip belt, the width of it and kind of the foam in it. And then also just the foam in the shoulder harnesses, and the frame itself I thought rode really well, but specifically that little Bedlam pack, I really liked that pack for, like, you could do a weekend out of it pretty easy if you're backpacking. I think it's like 4,900 cubic inches, but it was really nice for day hunting late season with my kid. I was packing a lot of stuff. It's got a spotting scope pocket, which I liked. It's got like this front little stretch pocket with clips that you can like tighten it down and secure it. So it was nice to just like throw your gloves in or, you know, anything that you might need quick and handy. But I really like that Bedlam. I think the Absorica, nice pack, more of a backpacker's backpack, a lot of volume. I think for most people, they would appreciate the sizing of the Bedlam. You could do like a weekend hunt, but still collapse it down and day hunt out of it.
Yeah, Kafaru is still one of the only packs I've never used.
Mm-hmm.
I tried one on it actually a couple of days ago in the showroom because I was just sitting there and I was waiting for someone to do a video with me, and I did notice the shoulder straps seemed really nice, like that whatever material they're using.
Mm-hmm.
And then the waist belt as well felt really nice.
It's comfy. It's a comfy pack. I think, you know, obviously they have like a, you know, cult like following, and there's a lot of people that swear by them, and I can
and
see
for
why,
good reason.
I can see why people like them.
Yeah, that's what Omar and I used on our New Mexico elk hunt. I mean, for a good reason, they have a cult following.
Yep.
Their suspension is awesome. There are a lot of good things about their packs.
Yep. Add a couple others. One of them is just an old standby. I think every elk hunter, if you're an archery elk hunter, you should have a Phelps EZS or Spite and Blow call, which is not new, but every year I'm always amazed at how easy that thing
That's
is.
That's like the new school Hoochie Mama.
It
Remember
is.
When that it, the Primos Hoochie
yeah,
Mama
exactly.
came out?
But I feel like everyone it actually, had I feel like it really works, man. Yeah. Like I called in a lot of bulls that just came in silent this year. I would just cruise north facing like bedding areas midday, blow the old EZS just a few times and just stand and wait, and you know, 5-10 minutes here you'd see a bull come sneaking up through the woods. So that one continues to be
a go-to.
Yeah, go-to. And then I would suggest if you buy one, buy two, because it's all
yeah.
I would put one in your pack and then one around your neck, and hopefully you don't walk off and leave it.
Like you did?
Like I do.
Yeah.
Every year. I don't know how many of those I've bought, but it's been a fair number because I tend to leave them in the woods for some reason. And then one other one, just because I kind of archery nerd, I bought and tried a lot of arrows this year, and then we got sent arrows. So Black Eagle sent me some Focus arrows, obviously Ultra View, a new arrow, good arrow, really liked it. Gold Tips, Victories, I think VAP TKOs, Platinum Pierces, like I shot a lot of different arrows this year. I really like that Black Eagle Focus a lot.
Yeah.
I would say of all the arrows this year that I built, and I didn't build the UV arrows, those ones came completely built out, which I think is great. Like if you want a premium, really nice arrow that's like built, shipped to you, you don't have to do a damn thing to it. You just want to go out and shoot, go that route. But if you're into building arrows, of all the arrows I've ever built in my whole life, and I can say this really honestly, that Black Eagle Focus arrow was the straightest, most consistent arrow dozen by dozen that I've built. Like straightness was on the money, weight was really, really good. And then, you know, spine aligned. So they print the thing on the spine and all that. And I had a couple that I still had to kind of tune, you know, knock tune or whatever. So not completely foolproof, which I don't fault them for, because I think every arrow is like that regardless of the manufacturer.
Everyone's a snowflake.
You're buying from, right?
They're all different.
Yeah. But the thing, so their insert system, I'm not in love with like the durability of the thing, But in practice, like the thought of it, so you have a insert that glues into the end of the shaft. You've got an outsert that goes over the top of it, and then you have a set screw that basically marries those two together, and you stick your little Allen wrench down and then you screw that thing in. What it allows you to do is to kind of rotate that outsert and tighten it up as you put your broadheads on or your field tips to make sure that everything is aligned and it spins true. And being able to do that, I went from like maybe getting like 6-8 arrows out of a dozen that were like really spun true to like 10.
That's pretty impressive.
Out of a dozen that you could do. But in saying that, you shoot those things a lot, like at the practice range, those little set screws will kind of come loose, like, yeah. And they kind of move a little bit. And I don't know that they're the most durable in my opinion. But I think in practice, that theory is a really good idea. And I think if I were to do it again, I would probably what I'll do is use some like Loctite and just kind of seal those things down, weld them in there, essentially JB weld them in once I've got them completely aligned with the broadhead. But I was really impressed with those for a 166 arrow. It's pretty sick dozen arrows. That's all I had on my gear of the year. That was good. Other than your pants. I liked all of it. Did you guys have any moments this year that was like, what was your best moment of the whole hunting season? Do you got a moment that you could go back to and you're like, yeah, that was it. I was living.
Like the moment?
Sure.
I think probably the moment when my brother killed his bull. That was a pretty good moment. Mm-hmm. I could just relive that a lot because the situation leading up to it.
Your dad being there.
Dad was right there next to us. Like the whole thing was just cool. But like that moment right there, yeah, I could relive that one. After what we'd been passing on bulls that we probably shouldn't have been passing on the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
And then killing the biggest bull we saw. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Just fun to be together.
And then dad hiked all the way up there and dad hiked all the way down. And we had to hike back up a mountain to go recover the bull. Like it was a nasty ordeal to get to the bull. But he was there the whole time, sat there in the snow, helped us cut meat, helped us pack some meat.
Mm-hmm.
And dad being with him. This is the second time my dad was with him, my brother's elk hunt.
That's pretty cool.
How'd you feel as your hunting season as a whole?
So I give it like a C grade.
Yeah.
I mean, I killed a lot of animals. I killed a bear, killed a desert bighorn ewe with my muzzle loader. Well, I killed a Mexico deer, that cactus buck. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mex-a-muley. Yeah.
Mex-a-muley.
Yeah.
And, and then my brother's elk passed on a metric ton of mule deer and ate a lot of mule deer tags. So that's why I'm like giving myself a downgrade, but it's like I just didn't find anything I wanted to kill.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite happy punching my tag on something, so I just elected just to eat them.
Do you guys look back at your hunting seasons and you kind of use that as like a springboard for next year, like I do? Yeah. You look at it and you're like, this is kind of the areas that I kind of didn't meet my expectations and why, and kind of evaluate it and try to figure it out for the next time. Yeah.
This is exactly what I do.
What do you come up with? What would you do differently for next year?
Do differently? If I was going to go back and do my high country muzzleloader hunt again, like I found some giants, like really good deer. That was like, I'm going to kill that deer. I had it all planned, mapped out in my head, exactly how I was going to stalk in there. Every day I was up there looking at him. He was still there. But then obviously that was summer scouting. And then leading up to the hunt, I think he was probably still there. But I would rather done 4 days of scouting, 3 days of scouting maybe before my hunt opened, and then shorten my hunt on the back end.
Really?
Rather than hunting the whole entire muzzleloader season.
You'd rather do that than actually be able to have gun in hand in the field.
Because I don't know if some archer killed him, spooked him, what happened to him, but I could not dig him up anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And as those days kept going on further, I saw less and less bucks. Because I think that the season opened on September 14th. Yeah, 14th. Yeah.
So let me understand this right. You're saying if you had 10 days to, you have 10 days off of work.
Yeah.
You would rather, and your season's, let's say your season.
Don't say it.
I'm not going to say it. You would take 3 days of scouting, 7 days to hunt, and then you would go back to work.
Just because of how...
Rather than opening day and hunt the full 10 days when the season's open.
Yeah, I think so.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah. Because this year the season dates were later than they ever were.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to start rotating. And so I think because the seasons were so late that those days beforehand, I probably could have turned up a buck and seen where he's moving into. I think they were transitioning into some weird shit that I just couldn't find him again. And I feel then towards the end of the hunt, started getting nasty weather, started getting snow, started getting rain, and then those bucks just weren't in the alpine anymore. So if I could have turned him up maybe right before the hunt, like, and locked him down and been like, all right, here he is, here's moving this next day, here's moving this next day, I could have tracked him more through the hunt and probably killed him. Where since I showed up the day before, scouted one day before, and didn't see him, it's like, oh, he's got to be here somewhere.
It's kind of a gamble.
It is a gamble. I wouldn't have known that, though.
It is a gamble.
You could show up and spend 3 days and not find anything, and then you've got 3 days less of hunting.
3 days less hunting, but then you've crossed off a lot of those places and not wasting time hunting, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I covered every bit of that unit in the high country, and I couldn't turn them up. And I couldn't turn up my number two buck or my number three buck. They were gone. Like, where did they go? That's what I'm just in my head, like, what other ways could I turn them up besides for maybe trying to turn them up a little bit earlier to see where they were at before they maybe transition to something that's super thick and nasty?
Do you feel that way? What would you do?
I'm thinking through it in my head.
I was talking to you guys before the hunt. We all thought that giant deer was like, oh, you're going to go kill that deer.
Yeah. I mean, all signs were pointing to
Nasty country. No one should be back there.
Yeah, I mean, if you see him in when August,
yeah,
so you see him in August, you would think mid September he would still be there.
Yeah, and I had last seen him a week before the opener, week and a half before the opener. I was up there.
I don't know. That's how I'm thinking through it in my head. It's a hard one because, I mean,
the feed wasn't burned either in the high country. Still good feed.
Yeah, I want my cake and eat it too, though. So I want to be there with fresh intel. And I want the whole hunt.
You want to scout 3 days, then hunt 10.
Yeah. if you only had the 10,
yeah, because we're not some influencers who can take out the whole friggin' hunting season and just scout and hunt and scout and hunt.
It's a tough one, man. I don't know. I don't know which I would rely on more, the full hunt days or fresh intel.
Yeah. Because as the days went on,
every hunt's a little different.
Gun in hand all days, maybe, is what I would lean towards.
That's what I would.
But you scout to kill. You kill a deer through scouting.
True.
Is it different for different weapon types?
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like archery, I just take the 10 hunting days.
Yeah.
Because seeing them is just the first step.
Yeah, the first step of a million.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a whole other thing I got to figure out. And I feel like if I'm in the field, I might as well have my bow and be hunting, right?
Yeah.
If I'm going to take those days off work. I feel like rifle hunting, though, I do feel like if you can find a buck for 3 days, you want to be there opening day with a gun in hand, ready to rip, and you know exactly where you need to be and when.
Yeah.
So I do feel different. It might be a weapon season.
It could be dictated by weapon, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this one was a little bit dictated by weapon. Obviously, muzzler hunts can be really good, but just the season dates being so late that I think they were doing weird shit that I just couldn't track because I wasn't there. The 3-4 days before the hunt, or I don't know if a bunch of elk hunters got in there, I don't know if a bunch of archery mule deer hunters got in there and boogered things up. But I saw one of his running mates hanging up there. He was the only
one of his homies.
There was 7 bucks that he was hanging with, and one was left. Where are those other deer? I never saw those other 6.
Yeah, it's
and I saw a lot wild. More deer than I saw earlier in the summer. Still up there at all sorts of different angles and glass air. Like I literally looped around the whole place to try to dig up in the timber and couldn't turn them up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, where'd he go? Did he get spooked? I don't know. Did he vanish?
That's interesting.
That's the only thing that I can keep going to is like, how would I do that differently? And that's the only thing I can think of is
the more I think about it, it's more weapon specific because archery hunting, once I find that animal, I want 10 days to try to kill it rather than 7, you know?
I agree. Weapon is hugely dictated on weapon for sure.
Yeah. Well, could you say the same though? A little bit towards a bow, if you had 5 days before the hunt to lock him down to find him, and then you found him to the point where you could kill him opening day, but then I guess they move around and might not be optimum position to kill him opening day.
I just know that with a bow, I'm probably going to need multiple opportunities to make a stock to get in range to actually kill that animal. And I would rather have 10 hunting days than 7 to try to make it happen.
The one thing though in my head is it's a great question actually, because if you had the 5 days and you found them on day 2 of the 5 days of scouting, you still have those days now to pattern him and lock him down, and you're not gonna try to force something when you think he's in a good spot, you know what I mean? So you might get to know the animal a little better before you even have the opportunity to go on a stalk.
Yeah.
So you kind of know exactly where you should be.
The hard part with the bow is that there's a lot of days you will see them and just have to let them go, just sit there and look at them and be like, "All right, good spot. Today's not the day." Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. That's a good lesson.
That's my lesson.
I feel like though, what I was gonna say, I feel like though that like your decision making now going into the next year of having the French Intel is only predicated on what happened this year.
Yep.
And it's not a right or wrong thing. And this is one of those hunting, it's not, I mean, none of this shit's planned. So it's like never going to go your way, either way you cut it.
Yeah, your hindsight is you could look back and say, I should have done this. But reality is you don't know if that would work either.
Mm-hmm. It's hunting. Yeah, like, it's hunting. Doesn't mean it's going to go any different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your favorite moment from the fall?
My spike.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like hands down, it was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was awesome. My whole family, my Romeo's first experience of like seeing a dead animal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like being there and
smell of elk.
The smell of elk. It's probably me just putting this on him because I mean a kid's gonna be excited about anything new, obviously. But he did genuinely seem to be more excited than most other things, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like he seemed to be more genuinely excited. And that could be me just, you know, trying to make something out of nothing, but
well, it's a new experience cool. for him regardless. Yeah. I mean,
and he just seemed like jacked up more so than any of the other new experiences we've given him, you know? And then this now Turtle is old enough where I gave him a dull knife blade, you know, and he's like, he's getting in there with me. So now he's old enough to like really do that.
That's
absolutely
cool.
Covered in blood. And I mean covered. You know, his as I'm breaking the bowl down, his whole thing is just stabbing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he thinks he's doing work by just poking. You know, letting him do whatever he wants. He's just covered in blood. You know, family picture. That's the first, you know, that now that my family is, you know, multiple kids and we're done, it's like that's the first full family kill shot, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Then eating it the next morning, feeding it to Romeo the next morning, elk steak and eggs. Like it was awesome.
That's cool.
So awesome.
That is cool.
And you know, what's really cool about hunting with, as your family grows, you know, it's a spike. So most people are like, whatever. That was genuinely what I looked forward to most this year is, okay, I'm in the elk woods with a bow and my entire family.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Which you did a year of your spike. You got it in your office.
It's in my office
looks pretty cool.
It's cool.
Yeah. All that little velvet hanging off him still.
He's a big spike too.
Actually made me jealous that we haven't over the years, like Euro'd or skull capped all the spikes that we piled up, my brother and I.
Oh, yeah, you probably got a pile of them.
Yeah, my brother had a real epic pile of spike.
And that, look, just being completely honest, I've never hunted spikes before because, I've never been excited to hunt them or whatever. And now I feel like the biggest idiot on planet Earth because it's fun as hell. It's reps in the woods. It's still hunting with a bow. Like you have to pick out a single individual animal out of a herd. So like all the tactics and stalking and everything, it was the same as like trying to kill a big bull because you're going after one in a group, you know, and the meat.
Yeah, like, it'll eat. Know.
Yeah,
people always talk about elk meat's so good. Elk meat's so good, and I don't know. If I was always thinking I was kind of weird. I'm like, man, I don't know, but I'm always killing rutted up bulls. You know what I mean? It's like it's good. Yeah, it's good. Like it's definitely better than most, but like it's not a steak. You know, not a T-bone or something. Mm-hmm. Killing a spike, holy shit!
Yeah, spike.
There's a major difference, a massive difference.
Yeah, for sure.
Now I feel like an idiot for not stocking up my freezer with that every year.
That's all right. You got next year.
Now I got next year.
You guys all be probably all planning on it this next year, huh? Whole family again.
Yeah.
Probably tell more people. And I want to see your brother out there hunting spikes.
I don't think my brother would ever do that. I don't know if he would be up for that.
Your brother's kind of like my brother. He's like, I was trying to like, why don't you come out on my cow elk? And he's like, you would have to pay me so much money to want to ever go on a cow elk. And he's like, if you applied me as a cow elk tag, he's like, I would never go.
Yeah.
You'd waste that money. I have no interest in seeing someone hunt a cow, seeing someone hunt a spike.
Sounds like my brother.
Yeah, I bet if he went, though, he'd like it.
That's what I think.
I never was like, why would I take, sucked.
He's like, why would I take the time away from everything, family and work and all that, to go shoot a spike or a cow? Because I told him he can apply for spikes now. We can't hunt you for a bull because you're locked out for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like, no, no.
Yeah, that sounds like my brother. My brother genuinely loves to hunt. Like, he loves it. But that's what he always... I think he would, if I got him out there, he would like it, because it's fun. You're calling him in. Yeah. Like, I called my spike in. It was awesome. They're coming out, calling him out of the herd. They're circling us. Like, it was awesome. Just wasn't a you know, 6-point.
Yeah.
But I think his mind would immediately go to, like, okay, I got to get away from work. I got to get away from that.
That's the thing. It's a value of judgment for him.
But once he was there, oh, boots on the ground next to me, he would be having a blast.
Anybody would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was my hang the hat on for this year.
So I know you got big plans for next year.
Yeah.
What do you?
Yeah, I do.
What disappointments did you have this year, and what are you thinking for this next year?
I'm on a slide of killing elk for myself, mature bull, obviously not a spike. You know, so I'm coming after elk next year in a big way, like for myself. You know, which I do genuinely love helping people, and I've helped Omar the last 2 years. You know, he was kind of first, he was first in the setup. Like, killing him a bull was what mattered.
Priority.
You know, get him rounded out and on his way being an elk hunter, and then helping Scott in third season and some of these other guys. But I want to get back to, like, I want to be first up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You going to do a deer tag this year?
No, I'm probably not.
Antelope?
Oh yeah for sure. I always gotta do one antelope.
Yeah, I'm with
that's
you
like
on that.
That's a forever thing for me, as one antelope tag.
Yeah, for sure.
And you play the states right, play all the stuff right, like,
yeah,
you know, that's what I want to talk about, the hunt with you.
Yeah,
we talked about that early this season.
Yeah,
that archery hunt.
Yeah, I'm ready to rip.
Yeah,
we'll do it.
I'd really like to do that.
That one's totally doable.
Yeah.
I checked the odds the other day.
Let's sign up for that one.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go do that. That's on my list.
Yeah.
So
you gotta have one antelope.
Yeah, for sure. At least one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be one of my favorite. I've got a couple. So one, you guys know, I kind of already brought up hunting with family. You know, taking my 12-year-old with me was really fun. It was fun to just see how excited he got. And I mean, I told it before on the other podcast, but like laying there at night with him in the tent and him just being like, you know what, I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that's great, man. You're not watching TV, you're on a screen, and you're doing something different that you really don't get to do all that often. So it was pretty cool to just see him, you know, have it resonate with him. So that was one of my favorites. Actually getting to be with him, and same with him, giving him a knife, letting him go to work on a deer.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. But the other one was one of my favorite. Was I shot an antelope out of a blind with my bow, and. Like, collectively, that whole hunt, I go back and look at it, but there was a lot of moments where I just was in the blind, you know, half hour, 40 minutes before light, just getting to watch the sun come up, you know, cold air in the morning, to the point where you're, like, wearing some jackets and stuff, and, you know, as that sun starts to warm everything up, and you're kind of taking your layers down, and you just feel that, like, warm sun on, you know, on your skin. It starts to heat up, the air's warmer, and just like sitting and watching wildlife and reading books. And when the antelope did come in, I don't think I've said it before, but there's nothing prettier on the landscape than an antelope in sunlight, right? So to watch this buck and two does kind of work in the morning sunlight, just watch him come the whole way, and then just to watch him the way they react. You know, I love watching antelope, just the way they behave. They're just a cool animal.
Because you never know what they're going to do
next. You don't, man. They're just so quirky and weird and cool looking. And he came in and, you know, he drank for a while before I actually thought he was in a position to make a shot. But it was like every once in a while you make one of those shots. Hopefully it's more than once in a while, but you make a shot with a bow that's just like everything feels like you're in a flow state. You just feel like everything sits. Pin sits, anchor sits, shot breaks. And I don't know, man, there's just nothing more satisfying than that to just know the outcome. And he probably went 50 yards. Tipped over, seemed dead out the back of the blind, but I just love that, man. I love it.
Yeah.
I know people love spot and stock antelope hunting. I get it, totally get it. But for me, man, I really just love the solace and the peace and just sitting and reading and enjoying like a sunrise out of a blind, watching antelope. It's the best.
Can I throw in one more thing?
Yeah.
You just reminded me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get back into waterfowl as well.
Are you?
Yeah, that's my other big plan.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you had a major, major love for it. Like, you were pretty hardcore for a long time.
Beyond major. I'm getting back into it.
That's awesome.
In a big way. I think it's awesome for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really good, like right now, right? We're all sitting on our hands, not doing much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could be sitting in a duck blind right now with my kids.
Yeah.
Watching the sun come up.
Yep.
You know, little cool heater on them.
Yeah.
Talking to them, getting them out of the house, getting them away from everything.
I think you got to find stuff, like, whether it's new or it's something that just comes back up in your life that you did before, prior to that. Like, you got to, like, target archery for me. So I got a target bow. I bought fat shafts. I've got some 27s out there in the truck. I got a couple. I went to build them the other night, and I was like, went to drop them in my old arrow saw, and the groove in my arrow saw
didn't fit.
It's too, this shaft is too big, right? So I brought them down today because we've got the last chance saw in the warehouse. So I'm going to run out there and cut them after work. But like, I'm going to shoot Vegas, which is in March this year. And I've been like trying to recruit people, like people within, you know, our space, people that we know. And I'm just like, come to Vegas. Let's, you know, shoot flights. I'll probably shoot bow hunter flights because I don't have $800 to drop on a target site and, you know, long bars and everything. But I've been more excited about that like the last week than I have been about most anything in a really long time. Like, I'm super excited to get into target archery.
That's exactly how I feel, because I'm reaching back out to all my old waterfowl network, and they're all excited that I'm getting back into it. And it's like, man, this is, I'm getting juiced up again.
It's like drinking through a fire hose again, right? Mm-hmm. It's like laying in bed at night on my phone, like researching you know, lenses and clarifiers and verifiers and sights and, you know, looking at all these different things, like, how does this guy set up his Hamsky rest for target? You know, what kind of poundage and let off and how much holding weight? And I've just been geeking out on it for like the last week or so in the evenings. And it's just, I think anytime you're like dipping your toes back into something, relearning, it just like sparks that. And so, like,
because you have the foundation. Like, I hunted 100 days a year in the Pacific Flyway, like all through college, all through my first 4 or 5 years out of college. Like, I'm talking a 10-year span. Had a mud boat, dog, the whole thing, trailer full of decoy shelves, the whole deal. It's like, I remember that, but I don't remember how I was doing everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm back in that.
You're
like,
learning.
Okay, just I have the foundation and I remember what it was, but I'm like, I'm back into, okay, decoy strategies and, you know, calling, what's changed? What are the new, what's the new gear? What's the, all this stuff? It's awesome.
Gotcha. Any resolutions for the year besides those you can think of? Mine's a touch my toes. So
that's a good one.
That's a good one. I want to get a little bit more flexible.
We talked about that the other week.
I can't bend over at the waist, keep my legs straight and touch my toes.
I never stretch.
It's been a hot minute and I'm terribly not stretchy. So that's one of my New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
And then to kill some elk, I'm with you.
I mean, putting myself first in the shooting line this year, for sure. Putting my hunts first.
Yeah.
I just want to find some mature mule deer.
Just mule resolution. Deer all the time.
Yeah, mule deer and bears, man.
But my resolution is to get my kids in a duck blind.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, get my youngest out as well. It's the first year I can actually apply him in most states. So, goal. I think I was telling you last week, I've got a pile. I mean, like, I don't know. I've got a lot of deer points in Wyoming. And forever and ever, I was like, I'm either going to draw the best of the best or just keep applying and trying. And I'm at a point now where I'm like, man, I think I'm just going to split my points with my youngest kid and take him on a deer hunt, probably general season somewhere.
That's
up there.
Awesome.
So I hear you on that one. Yeah. I look forward to that for sure.
I want more to do with them and with sports too. This is like where it really started to come to me. Like, I selfishly want to get back into it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I've like genuinely love it. I mean, it's up there with archery elk hunting for me. I know I'm going to get laughed out of the room for that, but it, I mean, genuinely, that's how I feel about waterfowl when I think about it. But then you think about sports and the kids and all this stuff. Like, I can get away for a day, 2 days, whatever, like a bird show up somewhere and go up the network I have, bring the kid real quick. We're already back in sports. Don't miss anything.
Yeah.
It's a lot different than being gone for 14 straight days.
Sure.
A lot different.
Yeah.
I have a non-hunting one.
What is it?
Kind of sounds.
Catching your toes isn't exactly hunting related.
No.
So let's hear it.
That's why I was trying to think of one not hunting related when you said
I didn't really think of all these beforehand, but this is one I talked about last year a couple times, and I went there and saw this place in person, and I'm like, I have to do this. I really want to run rim to rim to rim.
Oh, wow.
That'd be cool.
That's pretty.
Yeah, I want
pretty gnarly.
I want to try it.
Right on.
How far is it? What is that? How far is it?
Like 39 miles, I think, or 42. I don't know how many far.
I just know people always talk about the elevation gain and loss.
Is that qualified as an ultra? Is that an ultra?
I mean, it's not a,
anything over 26 is an ultra. 26.2. So
yeah. So I could do 26.3.
You could do 26.5, and you've been an ultra.
And I could say I did an ultra.
That's it.
There we go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it'd be kind of fun to run the Grand Canyon and.
That is cool.
Go start one side, go the other side, come back again.
Well, if you decide to do that, awesome. Let me know, and I can be a support crew, hand out snacks.
Meet them.
Yeah,
actually would be fun. Right,
yeah, meet you on one rim and fuel you up, give you some fuel.
That'd be kind of fun.
You know, we should, because Omar has his, I don't know when it is.
The Bryce Canyon.
The 50 or something.
Usually after our bear hunt that we do.
I keep telling him, so they have one on Antelope Island in March every year. I keep telling him he should do it, called the Buffalo Run. You get to see bison.
How far is it?
And you get a pick. There's like 50K. There's a half. There's even a 10K.
I'm not a K kind of person. So
it's like 6 miles. There's a 13.1. I think there's a full marathon. And I think there's like a 50 and 100K if you want to do it. But
what's a 50K?
32, I want to say.
Oh, so
something
ultra.
Like that. Yeah, ultra. Yeah, for sure. Over a half or over a marathon. Yeah.
But we should do like drone footage. Mm-hmm. And be the snack, me and you, just like chasing them in trucks, being snack guys.
Yeah,
it'd be awesome.
Yeah, so, get one of those beer hats.
Beer hats. Me and you just chilling, hanging out. We're glassing up everything on Antelope Island. They're running.
Yeah, so, Lorenzo and I will go hunt somewhere.
Yeah,
come back. Fuel.
So I was right. I said 42. Different things. Website is saying a little different. 43.2 miles.
Were you
rim to rim?
Were you afraid somebody was going to fact check you?
Yeah.
And then 11,443 feet of vertical.
Yeah. 11,443 feet of vertical.
Holy.
Fair amount.
I think it'd be just baller. Because that was the first time I've ever been in the Grand Canyon last year. I took my girlfriend there. We did a little hiking and camping trip over there.
You never been? Had you been?
I've been on the rim before. But like never actually went to Grand Canyon proper.
Yeah.
And like still wasn't on like the South Rim where all the popular places. I was on the North Rim.
They do a trail half that's really cool that goes along the rim in portions, and you like pop out over these overlooks and look into it. I've done that one.
Yeah.
That one was really fun.
I think this one would just be sick. Just like could cross off one of these crazy
things.
What's
the dates on it?
I think I'm not doing it as a race. Oh. I just want to go.
Oh, gotcha. It's not like an organized event.
No, that's why I don't. Yeah.
You can do it on your own.
It's not. They don't do an organized
event. I don't know if they do or not.
I don't know if they do or not.
Huh.
You can do whatever you want then.
I think like, you know, springtime's obviously the best before it gets hot.
Yeah.
Because then you're just going to kill yourself.
Yeah. So well, right on, man. Those are great goals.
Unless you're David Goggins.
I like that one.
Man up, dude. It's just the heat.
Just the heat.
I think that one's probably
Vegas heat all the time. I see him running.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm out there doing the same thing.
That one's probably more likely than me touching my toes. So I say,
I would agree.
I say, good on you.
I would agree.
You're that far away from your toes?
Dude, don't think I'm close.
If Trail and I tried to stretch right now, we would both probably be in the same boat. My dad can touch his toes. I told my girlfriend the other day, she's like, can you stretch? And I started stretching after I've been running a little bit. I was like, I would honestly rather turn around and do another 5 miles. Then do 10 minutes of stretching.
Me too.
It is oddly hard, but man, it makes you feel so good.
I don't think it makes you feel good.
Oh, feels
running
feels
makes great. Me feel good. Stretching,
you
no.
do like active stretching. You'd probably much prefer that.
I feel like I'm just wasting
That's
time.
That's more so what I do is active style stretching.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mobility,
but
like active
I'm
mobility.
I'm kind of motivated with you to do it.
But it is a goal.
It's going to be better for us in the long run.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
Well, how are you going to go about hitting that goal?
I just hope that it happens one day.
So just hope is your strategy.
Touch your toes.
That's how it
hope's your strategy.
Visualization.
Got it.
I'm going to lay there and just visualize myself touching my toes. I haven't actually put it into to practice yet, so we'll see. But at some point, I'm probably going to have to start stretching.
At some point. Yeah.
Well, good, man. Everybody, what are we? 92 minutes. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Anything else you guys want?
Should we dive into the last one you had on your list?
Oh, I don't know. Do I have another one?
Oh, you mean you had like go hunt in 2025?
Oh, yeah, we should. Sorry about that.
What are we what are we trying to do, aka what's new and developing?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Go hunt.
Yeah, what is new?
Trail forgot his own agenda.
I forgot mine. I put the agenda together yesterday, sent it out. I did a bunch of pre-work, and then, forgot about the last one. Ding.
This is why, you know, your co-host will come
in. Yeah, bring me.
Is it because you have to pee?
I do have to pee. Did you know that?
I could tell. You were drinking water.
When you close your laptop, you know you have to pee.
Yeah, I do have to pee. I was hoping.
I was like, hey, we should start wrapping
this up. You did that on purpose, really slow.
Just want to keep
Brady, let's talk super slow.
Brady,
you all right, so go hunt in 2025. Well, we have some things that are in the works.
All right, run through it. I'm ready. Let's go. What do you got planned?
I don't know. What can we talk about?
Yeah, some of the stuff is like, it's kind of hard to put out there fully, you know? But we're reworking the Insider product for sure.
Yeah, like,
we're
going to. Tons of new things on there.
So yeah.
I think at some point we'll probably have to do a full podcast
on just
kind of dedicated to the platform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, we've been around enough and we've met enough new hunters, you know, weekend warriors all the way up the ladder to the absolute diehard 100 day a year guys. And there are some shortcomings in how Insider functions, and we're aware of that, right? But it's all about like due process and due time and kind of building the bridge brick by brick until you can actually get it over to the next island. And we're there. So we're starting to rework. I don't know if that analogy made sense, but we're starting to rework how it all ties in together. Unit profiles themselves, like reworking that entirely.
Yeah, even the state profiles got a little new look.
We're adding some functionality, some community style functionality.
Mm-hmm. Which will be huge.
Which will be massive. It's already happening organically. Yeah. If you guys obviously know what I'm talking about, I don't want to put out too much, but it's already happening organically, so we're gonna facilitate that and help out the members and make it a lot more valuable and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
On the gear side, though, we can talk about that. That's fun.
Yeah, a couple others just before you get going on gear. Things I'm excited about. I was gonna throw out here before I forget, but like we're gonna be back at the expo.
Oh yeah,
so back at the Hunt Expo, which I'm stoked about. Have a booth, which would be cool. So stop by.
I'm 50-50 on that.
I
am stoked. I mean that half heartedly. I am stoked.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work. It's
a ton of work. And then we did TAC last year, which I thought was really, as far as like all the attacks that we've ever done, any kind of event we've done, I thought that one was awesome. And I
would love to do another TAC.
So if we do some of those, I think that would be super, super cool too. But those are two things I had. Anyway, I cut you off.
No, the expo, that day is a good one. I left that one out. We're back. And we'll have all of our, what I'm about to talk about there. The gear side is, man, it's come together. We put a lot of work into making things the way we want it, right? It's all of us, like think about all of us before Go Hunt. We would all use something and be like, man, this is a really good piece, but if it was me, I would change this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Well, essentially now with Go Hunt, that's exactly what we've done with all of those pieces of gear and things we've used over time. We're building it for us now.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming down the pipe. Like we have the atmosphere jacket coming. We have the Battle Mountain jacket coming. That was the one I really wanted. That it's like half insulation, half active piece. We don't have any. That one's a little bit behind the path on the atmosphere jacket, but then we got the pants that are coming close. The booties. You tried on the new booties?
Yeah, down booties.
Oh, bud. Those are. We nailed
those. I'm stoked about the pant.
We nailed those. The pants coming.
You can tell by our discussion today, we're fairly passionate about pants.
Extremely passionate about a hunting pant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've leaked them a little bit, but people saw some of my photos. I'm wearing some Go Hunt gloves.
Yeah, the gloves are going to be
these too, that
awesome.
Are pretty baller. He'll do it all. Glassing glove, hiking glove.
So all that's a lot of that stuff, you know, 90%+ of it is all going to be at the expo, which is cool. And it's just like, that's a genuinely fun thing to do too. It's building gear the way you want it, right?
Yep.
Like we're not living and dying by selling gear for us. We just want to make it the way we want it, you know, which is fun to be in that. Luckily, somehow we found ourselves in that seat. So
yeah, it's fun to be in that chair.
Yeah, it's like to cherry pick it and be like, man, I love this thing, but I want to change X, Y, and Z. And then we get to do it.
It's always interesting, though, the meetings we have when we're developing these things and like the difference. If you saw the difference of opinions we have on pants, like in trying to figure out what's the best.
Yeah, you no longer can say anything about our pant. So we have that going for us.
It's just kind of fun. Like there's so many different use cases and how different people use gear, and you have to think about that and then take all the collective thoughts of all of us here in the office.
As well. But basically, so Trail Can Take is P, we'll just cap it off. But there's 2025 will
be. I have more now that I'm thinking about
it. Big, there's a lot of newness. We'll just put it that way. In 2025, a lot of newness.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were talking, some of my favorite things too from this past year was just I felt like our community is like grown, and I feel like we've also gotten like a lot more, you know, LinkedIn. So like we got to do some really fun things, like you know, the Prop 127 thing in Colorado wasn't fun per se, but it was fun for me personally to like get involved, be aware, keep up on it,
make a difference.
You know, we've had some guests more recently that we've talked about other topics, whether it's feral horses or, you know, land grabs. It's just, and probably a lot of this is just personal, but like personally, it's just been interesting to be more engaged in those types of issues. It kind of drew me in. And like, I think I told Randy, like, I follow politics, I follow politics a lot, but it was fun to kind of actually be involved in something I felt like actually had some impact.
Yeah, it's fulfilling.
Potentially on the ground. Yeah, it is fulfilling. So I'm looking forward to doing more of that. I thought the community event that we did here was awesome.
That was
cool. Love to do more of that type of stuff.
We are definitely doing more.
You know, it's just fun to like see people come out and get to meet some new people. And, you know, it's every year I always say this is like one of my favorite parts about this job is just getting a message, getting an email from somebody that used the product, you know, that I personally helped or gave some info to that went out and put it to use and was able to fulfill some sort of dream that they didn't really think they could ever do. And so I hope to do more of that. And the podcast, I mean, I obviously want to keep it rolling and keep it growing. And I'd love it if you guys would share it.
Yeah, those are the messages you get from people. Like, you get the same ones, like all sorts of, oh, I love your guys' podcast.
Yeah.
And then they dive into like what you guys said on there. I never thought of before. Use that tactic, and then they send you like a success photo. Yeah. Like they live their dream. Mm-hmm. And that's the coolest thing ever. Getting those messages from people literally daily.
Like being 100% honest, this is my favorite part of my job. I love podcasting. It's great.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, it's my favorite part.
These are some of my favorite. The three of us just to get to sit down and just shoot the bowl and run through. But
make fun of Brady for his pants.
That's my favorite thing
to do. Make fun of my pants. Make fun of my hair. What's next?
Yeah, I mean, just everything.
Yeah.
I'm gonna shave my beard for you guys and just throw you all.
Let's go.
Don't get too. Shave your head. Do that first.
Yeah. Good.
What would we have to do to get you to shave your head?
Should we all just go shaved heads one day? Just walk in, clean shaven, shaved heads.
Clean head.
three of us.
Call us the cone heads.
Man, that would be wild. I
haven't probably wouldn't look very good.
I haven't shaved my face in who knows how long. It's been a very long time. Cool. Well, thanks, guys. I've had to pee for so long I forgot I had to pee, but now it's coming back, so I'm going to go.